the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, and we began with verse number 9. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to speak to you today from verse number 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Last Sunday, I dealt with the first part of this in forgive us our debt. Until you recognize and realize that you are a debtor, that you are a sinner, that you are a person who has miserably failed God. You're a sinner. You're not going to be a sinner. You're already a sinner. You may be a sinner saved by grace, but every person has a debt to be paid. And as I tried to picture to you last week and tried to portray through the message that when we were beyond hope, and we had miserably failed, that God, through the gift of His own Son, paid the debt that you and I could not pay, freeing us from that obligation, from that responsibility, freeing us from that thing that would damn our souls eternally into hell. We found that there was none other way whereby that debt can be canceled other than through Jesus Christ. You can try to cancel that debt through church membership. You can try to cancel that debt through water baptism. You can try to cancel that check through, that debt through good works. But all of these things fail. There is one thing and one thing only that can cancel the debt that you owe Almighty God. And that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus could have never canceled that debt unless He would have died. Had He lived, He would have never canceled it. It was through His death that He redeemed my soul. It was through His death. It was by the spilling of His blood. It was the blood that was shed according to the Word of God that redeemed my soul from the penalty and the powers of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. But Jesus shed His own blood to forgive me. Now that debt was canceled. All I had to do was accept it. Amen. But then I found I had a tremendous responsibility, because I can take you to the very spot this morning where I was when I knew my sins were forgiven. I know exactly where I was. I know exactly when it happened. It wasn't a long, drawn-out affair. I knew when my sins were gone. Just like the Scripture says, you know when you pass from death into life. I knew when I was redeemed. I could take you there today. But then I found something that has lingered with me for a long, long time and still lingers with me today. Because I still make mistakes. and I still need forgiveness from time to time. There are times when I really fumble the ball. There are times when I do things that I disappoint myself, and I know that if I disappoint myself, I have miserably disappointed God. And I have to ask Him to forgive me. But you know what? With all the love God has, and with all the mercy that He's extended, He will not forgive one of my sins unless I'm willing to forgive my fellow man. You who think that you are Christian and you hate people, you're believing a lie. You say, Brother Gorman, but I just can't stand them. The Bible says, I will not hear your prayer. I will not forgive you your debt unless you forgive those around you. Let's read this from the passages of God's Word. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. When, if you forgive men their trespasses. Amen? I cannot afford to hold an unforgiving spirit because I need God's forgiveness from day to day. There is no day that goes by but what in some measure I feel that I need that mercy extended to me, that love extended to me. No, I don't believe that we should go out and live in the gutters of sin that God may forgive us, and I do not believe that a person can make it to heaven if they've got sin in their life that's unforgiven. Because if God lets sin into heaven, then heaven will be no better than the earth is. Only those that have been redeemed and forgiven. This is why we have an advocate. That's why we can have access to the throne room of God through Jesus Christ. And when we fail, we can ask for forgiveness. But I need His forgiveness so often. I need His mercy so often that I cannot afford to have an unforgiving spirit. I cannot be a person who goes for weeks and months and years holding a grudge against someone. I refuse to do that. I refuse to be an individual that holds something in my heart against this man, or against some member of this choir, or against anybody, regardless of who they are. There is nothing man can do to you that justifies you in holding in your heart bitterness and resentment toward that person. And if you do that, you have only cut yourself off from God's forgiving mercy. Hallelujah. You can't afford to do that, friends. You cannot allow this kind of a spirit to grip your heart and your life. And I know sometimes it's very difficult. People do things to you that are very bitter, very ugly. They hurt. They wound deep into the heart. But you cannot afford to hold a grudge. You cannot afford to hold an unforgiving spirit there. You must forgive. And I'm not talking about this old kind of business. I forgive you, but I can't forgive it. I mean, can't forget it. I'll forgive you of it, but I can't forget it. I'm not talking about that. I believe that we ought to forgive them, and we ought to believe the Lord that God would help us to erase that thing from us, that there would be no difference made in that person. It must be that way. Jesus Christ, who suffered at the hands of men as probably no other person has ever suffered. And yet when Jesus Christ suffered such ridicule, such hatred, such bitterness, such envy, such utter, unjustifiable persecution and torture. And yet as he was upon the cross, he begged God the Father, forgive them, forgive them. You say, but that was Jesus, that was Jesus. I'm not Jesus. Stephen did the same identical thing as they stoned him. And as the blood was oozing out of his body, and as life was slowly ebbing away, Stephen looked up into heaven, and he saw Jesus at the right hand of God, and he begged of God that he would forgive those that cast the stones upon him, for they did not understand. Stephen was a man just like you, just like I. There was no difference. One of the most bitter experiences that a person can go through is for them to hold a grudge over the years until that thing eats like a cancer into their very heart and into their very life. Occasionally in my work, I come across a mother who has a grudge against her children that is so beyond me, I cannot comprehend it. I cannot for the life of me. I know I cannot understand or know what's going to happen to my children, but I cannot conceive in my thinking, Brother Fullenwater, that Randy or Mark or Bev could ever do anything that would cause me in any way to write them off as though they didn't exist. And yet, I face parents like that. I face dads. A few weeks ago, I talked to a dad who said, I haven't spoken to my son, and I forget how many years, seemingly like it was 20 years. I said, my God, man. What do you mean? He says, because that he did not do what I thought he should have done, I tried to get him to. My friend, I can't help what people have done. You are not justified. You may have begged your daughter. You may have begged your son. You may have begged your husband. You may have begged your wife. You may have done everything within your power to get them to do certain things. And they may have turned to be one of the worst sinners that there is in the city. But you are not justified to hate them. That spirit of hatred and bitterness cannot stay there. Amen. And I believe one of the things that's caused our youth of today to have such bitterness and resentment in their hearts is because there's been so much of it in the home and in the family. There needs to be love. There needs to be a forgiving spirit. I don't believe in a husband and a wife going for 2 or 3 weeks in the same house and not speak to one another. I don't believe that you ought to get mad at one another and pout for a solid week without speaking. That's a bad example before your children. That's a bad example in the community. That's bad for you spiritually, and it's bad for your marriage. You say, oh, but Brother Gorman, you have no right to say that. I have every right to say that, because that damnable, bitter spirit that's spewing out of your life is contaminating the lives of others. And sometimes husband and wives go for maybe a week or 2 weeks or a month, and they just barely grunt at one another, not speak. Boy, that's really beautiful in front of your kids. That's really setting a great example before them. It's much better when you have a forgiving spirit. Amen? You say, Brother Gorman, don't you and Sister Gorman ever disagree? Yep. But we don't let days go by without making up, honey. And you shouldn't. We don't even let a day and a night go by until we have asked. We made it a practice to do that. Amen? I don't want my kids growing up feeling that it's justified, regardless of what a person has done, to hold a grudge of bitterness in your heart and life. Jesus says, speaking to those who were following him, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Amen. Let's see what Paul says about it in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 32. "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. Amen? Tender-hearted, let us forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. You know what I can say this morning without fear of contradiction? I can say to every person here, come to this altar and accept Jesus as your Savior, and He will forgive you. You say, "But Brother Gorman, don't you have to examine them to see whether they are a prostitute, or whether they are a drug addict, or whether they are homosexual, or whether they are a liar, or whether they are a thief?" I don't have to examine them at all, because provision has been made that every person that asks for forgiveness can be forgiven. There may be an adulterist or an adulterer here. There may be a person that's gone into the very gutters of sin in cheating on their companion. But God will forgive when that person asks for forgiveness. I can have no fear this morning in saying, come and accept Jesus as your personal Savior, and He will cleanse you from all sin. He will forgive you. Now that same kind of spirit must come over us, that we can forgive people of the wrong they have done. Many, many times we do not understand the difference between forgiveness and association, forgiveness and companionship, forgiveness and going buddy-buddy with an individual. I can forgive a person who tells a lie on me, but I'm not going to go and associate with that person unless that individual has cleaned up their life. But I don't have a grudge in my heart against them. You say, do you have a right to do that? Paul says for us not to associate with individuals who have stooped in the gutters of sin. There are people who have wronged me. There are people who are hypocrites. There are people who are liars. There are people who are cheats that I'm not going to associate with. But at the same time, I'm not going to hold things in my heart against them. I cannot afford to. I'll pray with them. I'll counsel with them. I'll help them in any way I can to come to know Jesus and to live for Jesus. But that doesn't mean that you've got to take them in as bosom pals. And some of our precious young people have been swallowed up by this thing, because they think that if you forgive someone, that you've got to take them in as your best friend. And it doesn't mean that. The Scripture doesn't teach that. It means for us to live the life and to abstain from the very appearance of evil. And at the same time, love the sinner without loving the sin. And that's what we cannot discern between. There's a difference between the sin and the sinner. The sinner is to be saved and redeemed. The sin is to be hated and despised. And this is what we must do. And if a person will not turn from sin, Paul says, if a man, after you talk with him, after you try to reason with him, he continues to associate himself in sin,
and go and sin? He says, no, not to eat with them. And since I've been in the city of New Orleans, there have been people that I have come in contact with that I have learned them to be liars. I've learned them to be cheats. I have learned them to be hypocrites. They talk out of their mouth one way when they're with me and another way when they're with someone else. I'll help that person any way I can at this altar. I'll help them in my office. I'll pray with them any time I will. But I won't be caught downtown in the finest restaurant in the city eating with them, because the Bible says not to. Amen. And yet you don't have to hold bitterness in your heart toward them. You'll ruin your good testimony. And I've seen some of our precious young people that's been caught on occasions. Recently, I counseled with some kids that was caught up in a situation because they thought to forgive, they had to take a person in as a bosom pal. And that's not what the scripture says at all. Amen? Hallelujah. And yet every time when I go to pray and I say, God, I want you to bless my children. God, I want you to help them. God, I want you to bless my wife. I want you to touch her body. I want you to help me, Lord. I want you to forgive me if I've made mistakes, if I've done this or done that. I want you to, and always I've got to search my heart first. Do I have a forgiving spirit toward other people? It's always got to be there. It's always got to be there. And if I have not forgiven, then I should not expect to be forgiven. Hallelujah. I'm going to close with these few remarks. I believe the one thing that keeps more people from being healed, and I am going to be praying for the sick tonight, but I want you to search your heart this afternoon. I think the one thing that blocks more prayers from being answered than anything that I know of is an unforgiving spirit. Amen. In dealing with people, and as a marriage counselor, as working with young people, as working with individuals, I find in the hearts of more people an unforgiving spirit than any other sin. Some of you sitting here this morning, you wouldn't think about going out and getting drunk. You wouldn't think about going out and gambling all night. You wouldn't think about doing those things. And yet, deep down inside, there's a mother-in-law, a father-in-law, a sister-in-law, a neighbor, or someone else that you can't stand. And that's worse than getting drunk. You say, Brother Gorman, that's right. Because you get drunk and that's not hid. But you think you've got the other hid, and it's not. You go to the gambling casino all night, someone's going to see you. That's not hid. But some of you think you've got that hid. You think it's real neatly bundled up, stuck down inside your heart, and nobody knows it. But he does. Years ago, I had a person who had wronged me very deeply, tried to wreck my ministry, and the devil told me, you have a right to hate him. And I believed him, and I began to dry up inside. I tried, but I just couldn't. I was drying up. And one day, while waiting before God and praying with all the sincerity I knew how, I said, Dear God, whatever's in the way of me being used of you, show me and I'll remove it. And just like a flash, he showed me. He said, What'd you do about it? Could you cast it out? No, sir. I started by asking God, God, help me. Help me to be free from this evil, vicious spirit of unforgiveness. Help me to love. Help me to love. And as I began to draw nigh to God, God began to draw nigh to me. And the more I loved him, the more I loved people. You know why people are bad? Sin. If everyone was a genuine Christian, everyone would be good. And when you're hating a person because of a wrong they've done, you're hating that person because they're bound by sin. And the Bible teaches us to love the sinner. To love the sinner. But you'll never love the sinner till you look at the sinner through spiritual eyes. And the closer you get to Jesus, the clearer you can see the distinction between the sin and the sinner. You can see the sin as ugly, damnable, with all the blackness of sin, there is horror. But then you can see the sinner that needs to be freed, that needs to be helped. Amen. And before you can help the sinner, you've got to have a forgiving spirit toward the sinner. Amen. I'm not going to call out who it is because it would be embarrassing. But did you know we recently had someone saved that the first time they ever talked to me, they cursed me out for everything they could think of? They call me a hypocrite, a liar, a crook, or they call me some real dillies. And they put a lot of adjectives on the front and behind. But you know what? God let me see that person as a person that needed to be freed. And you know what? I had a real burning love for that person, but I sure did hate their ways. And today, they're saved. Today, they're redeemed. Don't tell me you can't. If you'll get close enough to Jesus, you can. In a few moments, we're going to be taking communion. And as we take communion, I want you to go back to Calvary. One day, your Lord and mine hung upon Calvary. And as he looked down from Calvary, he saw all the howling mob who placed him there. He beheld them. He saw his mother, John said, as she stood over there. And he looked at John and said, "Take her, and you take care of her." That was horrible. A horrible scene. He saw all of the professing Christians, professing religious leaders, who had put him upon the cross. And then he cries out unto God, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Forgive them. And friend, the same kind of love can be yours and mine. I don't care what that person is. Love their soul. Don't miss heaven. Don't miss heaven because you can't forgive. Heaven will be worth it at any price. Will you bow your heads?